The Staff and Graph Podcast.
This is weird. My lock's been drilled, so I open the door and my steering wheel is missing.
And links for salad.
You know what? You're trying very hard not to get sued.
You can have all the talent in the world skating around, but if you don't have a goaltender, it does not matter.
Team Tidy Business, baby. Well, we're back. We took a little bit of time off because, Rachel's back, and then some, she finally went public with what she has been going through with the Vancouver Canucks. We thought we'd just let it breathe for a little bit. She's obviously not going to be on this episode. It's a Jesse and Mike episode. We like to call ourselves the One Call Compadres.
We're
not going to explain that.
We're not.
No, but
it's not that interesting.
It really isn't. But
Rachel a break though, man. Doing a show with you is taxing.
It is.
Does one. She needs a month, dude. She's gonna need a month to recover from that.
I don't know how she got through the last one.
Episode though. I enjoyed it.
Well, I don't know how she got through the last stretch of doing, when her and I were like just permanent co-hosts together, like, because it is taxing doing a show with me,
I'm just getting back from my sabbatical now.
Yeah. So. Well, the worst part is you have to look at my face the whole time over Zoom.
I think that's
the least favorite part.
Well, you're preparing for winter with a nice growth. You have a nice facial hair growth going on.
You know what this is, Jesse? I shaved my whole face except for the mustache. I shaved like my whole face before Movember, and then at a certain point, I shaved like my whole face except for the mustache. 7 days into Movember, just to have it sort of like pronounced. Mm. And I've just been so lazy since then. This isn't completely unintentional, sort of like facial hair growth that I have, because I was supposed to spend the rest of this month like showcasing the fact that I can now finally, at the age of 26, grow a decent mustache. Mm. And I've just been too lazy to really let that highlight shine through. Mm. So things are going great on that front for me. How are you?
Everything's fine. We just went through American Thanksgiving, right? So that was exciting. I'm ready for the magic of the Christmas season as
Isn't
a dad.
It lovely?
Yeah.
Oh, this is your first one as a dad?
No, last year she was like, just sort of like a blob of cells, right?
Yeah, she was just a paperweight at that point.
Exactly.
Really.
Like, so this one is the one where you're really like, she's like pointing at Santa and she knows like that's the guy, when she sees him. So she doesn't know what he does yet, but there's a mystique around them. We're ready. So, yeah, that's
she,
it.
She knows, like, she knows that there's nothing. She knows that, there's something going on with Santa. She knows that. She doesn't know what he does. Doesn't
there's
know what
a
the
level
list.
Of importance.
Exactly.
She knows that this is the guy in charge. So
exactly. Yeah. I love the Christmas season. Like, it's my favorite. It's literally is my favorite time of year. Like, that song. I do. I usually do tend to have a holly jolly Christmas because it is the best time of the year. And it's now just, I think, starting to get a little like sort of feel like the Christmas season over here. Like, we had a crazy like snow. Sort
I was
of
just
like,
gonna ask you if you had a snow.
We did. We had a big like our introduction to really cold weather was like a blizzard. And then it sort of went away. And now it's starting to come back down, which I like because I don't like change, Jesse. And if it's going to be cold. And I like the cold weather. I like wearing more clothes than less clothes. Mm. Most people think that I'm just a whore, but it's not true. I like wearing more clothes than less clothes.
People say about that all the time. They say that
exactly. 100%. And so I don't like when it gets really cold and then we have like a warm spell randomly in the middle of it. And then if it's going to be cold, let it be cold. And now I think we're finally getting there.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's you can layer up, right? That's not if I'm not warm enough, right? I can add layers. When in the summer, there's nothing you're doing to escape that heat. You get on there in your undies, That's exactly. It's still hot.
So. I'm just like a notoriously sweaty guy too. Like I just
are you?
Like,
that's a thing. Okay, I didn't know that about you.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm just like I'm just a sweaty guy, and so
you're not very sweaty right now for someone who's just walked 10,000 steps. Tell the people, Michael, well, you walked 10,000 steps before the episode tonight.
I did towel off before I sat down with you, which is good.
I appreciate.
I did have to walk. I had to walk. I had to do like an hour and a half walk to go pick up something that was around where my old like apartment was, and it was just made Jesse wait half an hour and whatever. Anyway, but yeah, it's. But
at least I don't have to stare at you like sopping wet. At least exactly.
Well,
the
I mean, remember that time? That's normally what it's. Remember that time?
I remember that. Yeah.
When it was the preseason where I was covering two games in one day, and I had to go like I had to run back and forth in between, and it was and you know we were literally like it looked like I just like being caught.
We need
in the
to get
rain.
You a scooter, Mike.
You know, no,
what about
because,
like a nice electric scooter?
But I want to get the steps in, man. Yeah. Like the steps are important, especially because like my knee's all messed up, so I can't like run anymore.
Oh, but it was like when you're in a time pinch.
That's okay. Right? That's true. That's
you're
true.
Gonna need a yeah.
Well, it's funny. Like I've actually decided to like I've instead of subwaying to the rink, I've walked. Like I've just allotted more time to walk. It adds 16,000 steps to my day. So that's nice. I am a little more tired, but it's worth it. Anyway, hockey. Rupe Hintz.
Yeah.
Signed a big deal. It actually, so I recorded the hockey news podcast today, and thankfully it happened literally 35 seconds before we started recording. So we were able to catch it, but huge deal, 8 times $8.45 million. I think that this is there are very few opportunities in sports where we get to see a contract that's kind of win-win. And I think this is more of a win-win because it gives Hintz like it gives Hintz a huge raise, a deserving one too. He's become one of the best centers in the league, and like the commitment of an 8-year term and like a new no move clause 3 years two through eight and some great salary structure for him, and it's all worked out perfectly. And then it gives the like for him at least, because he, you know, he's a second round pick, but then he spent a lot of time in the AHL and had to kind of claw his way up there. And then you also you look at the Stars perspective, and I mean the cap's going to go up pretty substantially soon, hopefully. And so 8.45 won't look too bad. And even in the context of things now, like for who essentially is their first line center, a guy who is over point per game, who scored 37 goals last year, who's anchoring that or is a not anchoring because Jason Robertson is anchoring it, but like he is the main one of the main, you know, key factors on that top line of theirs that's firing all cylinders. That's somewhat of a bargain. I think this is a great deal for everybody.
Everything about what Dallas does on the power play, in my opinion, flows through what Rupe Hintz can do and his ability to get open deceivingly. So he's got a cannon. His shot is got a lot of velocity. It's extraordinarily accurate. And he walks the puck, skates the puck off the wall really well. So he'll get himself in a position where he's got space to move, get it on his stick. And then, you know, you can really back defenders up and penalty killers up when you're confidently moving towards them with possession off that circle. He does it so well. Everything you said, so think about this, right? You've got Jason Robertson, who is playing some of the best hockey of his life. And the fact that's not a fair contract. We could talk about that another time.
Oh, yeah. You know,
this deal worked out really well for Hintz and the Stars. The other one, not necessarily so good for Jason Robertson. But then let's also mention, too, that like future state of Dallas, and you think about what that team looks like later on, later on down the line, Stankoven, you know, potentially the trio on that line eventually. It's a harbinger of good things to come for Dallas. I think at the end of the day, with Hintz, the rate at which he scores goals and the rate at which he finishes overall are just in relation to the chances he gets are both elite numbers that are plus 95% in the National Hockey League among other forwards. You mentioned it, Mike, when the cap going up, with this deal being what it is, it's great for Dallas, and it allows them to cement in really talented players into their top line and build around that with room to grow. So, and you mentioned some of the really talented players they have defensively. This is going to be a really exciting team to watch. It already is. It's not going to be. It is now. They've just secured it as such for many years to come.
I mean, like this went from a team that yes, you know, Robertson and Hintz were scoring really well last year and everything. But like this one from a team that played like plodding, sort of bore their opponent into submission hockey. And they're a blast to watch now.
No, absolutely.
Like Jamie Benn's having a resurgent year. I picked him up on waivers and fantasy just as like a one night sort of plug and play based on the matchup. And then I straight up, I can't drop him now. Like he's too good. Even like sort of Sagan is, he's not, you know, performing like the almost $10 million player he is, but, or he's getting paid to be, but he's still doing better than last year. And, you know, they have their, you know, Heiskanen's just again, one of the best defensemen in the league. Like things are just seem to be going well for the Stars. And now they have, you know, a guy who's right in the middle of his prime, locked in for the rest of his prime at what will likely be a very good price. I mean, that's dubs across the board, in my opinion.
They activate their D as well as anyone right now. That's the way all the good teams, look at New Jersey, Mike, what the Devils are doing, Colorado, all the good teams in the league are playing with basically four forwards at this juncture. And you either have a forward that is doing you either have a defenseman that is doing the puck carrying and three forwards that are supporting him, or you have him activating and acting as a fourth forward and pinching and getting up ice. That's the way it is now. And I just think that, you know, that's always, you can put a somewhat of a wet towel over that, Mike, and a cap on it by playing this like really regressive defensive style of hockey. But like, I don't know, man, it's just opening up the door too often to too many scoring chances and asking for too much trouble. I just feel like if you're not playing on the front foot like that now, you're crazy. And I understand this is taking us a little bit off the subject of Roope Hintz, but, you know, he's one of the players that enables Dallas to play the way that they play. And I just think like, if you're not playing like a Toronto or a Dallas or a New Jersey right now, like you're at a distinct disadvantage. I'd love to get to a place, and we're kind of getting there. I think this will become more normalized when I'm like old, decrepit, retired, and just yelling about the game on a porch somewhere, that we'll get into a place where we could say like, hey, this system, right? Like a really aggressive 1-3-1 or a really aggressive, you know, neutral zone forecheck, had this record against this system last year, you know, against like a really regressive, you know, converge on your goalie and collapse, you know, 2-3 type thing. I just would like to get to a place, Mike, where we could look at systems as a head-to-head type stat and see like how different play styles affected each other. Cause I think you would see that a Dallas style, like an open run and gun, activate your D, is just steamrolling and trucking everything else right now. I rest my case.
I don't know if I have anything else to add to that. Like that was perfect. Right. That was smarter than anything that would have come out of my mouth. So I guess we'll move on. Sidney Crosby.
Oh,
I mean, this man is just,
we're going to do this Jeopardy style because you just give me the idea this player has the most even strength points in the National Hockey League so far this season. Who is Sidney Crosby? That's correct, Michael.
Yeah. I did know that. I also am glad that the absolute jerk who tried to muscle his way into the Jeopardy hosting job at one point did not get it. Do you remember that big scandal that happened?
Yeah, he was doing some nasty stuff behind the backstage, I think. Right.
Yeah, just a real, real jerk.
Do you have a preference right now of Jeopardy host?
I loved I thought they should have just given it to LeVar Burton. I think you can give anything to LeVar Burton. He's just fantastic. He like his voice just, you know, he's the perfect sort of vibe for Jeopardy. I think it's
Reading Rainbow was lit back in the day. People
like, and what I love is like it was a PBS. Show. It's public broadcasting. Yeah. Like
right
it was
there with Mr. Rogers.
Exactly. And like Reading Rainbow was huge. You know, like obviously it was way before my time, but like, you know, Roots. LeVar is just, he's a great guy. You know, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, like I had friends, so I didn't watch Star Trek, but, you know.
Neither did I, but I know he was on it. He had that bar. He was wore that thing. He wore that cool thing. Everybody wanted to be that guy when they were a kid, you know.
When I say I had friends, I mean, like I was literally
dressing.
You
made them up. They were imaginary.
I was dressing up as Batman and having imaginary lightsaber fights. And you know that famous YouTube video of the kid lightsaber fighting himself in his garage? And then, yeah, that was actually me. It's crazy enough.
It's crazy.
I'm actually a minor celebrity in that regard. But yeah, Sidney Crosby back. I don't know how we got so off track, but he's just phenomenal, man. I just think it's important, especially because of where you're based and, you know, like you cover the team and all that. Like, I just like, let's just appreciate Sidney Crosby because the guy's what, like 36, 30, like 37 now, like he's getting up there. And we like as much as we would love to see, and I do believe that a guy like Crosby can play into his like 40s, like he can be like a better Patrick Marleau or a better Joe Thornton in that regard. Yeah. But we only have so many more years, I think, of like absolute peak prime Sidney Crosby. Why don't we just appreciate him a little bit?
Yeah, I said on Twitter tonight, you know, you don't have somebody open up, you know, a 1940 bottle of port or something, you know, whatever it is, and you just chug it. I mean, you could do that, right? But that's, you got to sip that wine. Enjoy that, right?
Savor it.
Yeah, you don't go to like a steakhouse and just gobble that sucker down with a bunch of A1 on it. You know what I mean? Just go get it well done.
Appreciate the notes of chicory and
tannins.
Exactly. You really got to just sort of like get the aroma going.
You know who has the greatest wine cellar in the world, right?
Who? It's a celebrity, isn't it?
Oh, it's Big Mario. Number 66.
Oh, does he?
Oh, dude. The house has a cellar in it.
Yeah, of course.
That I'm talking millions in there, bro, of wine. Millions.
The greatest heist. It's time for Ocean's 14.
I've never been invited to Mario's house. But if you go to Swickley, you might run into him at Brugger's Bagels if you stop down and get a bagel.
It is time for Ocean's 14 Mario Lemieux House Edition.
Sidney Crosby individual points percentage, 87%, by the way, which is hilarious.
Absolutely insane. That's
You know, what you're seeing now, because we think of, you know, you think about 18, 19 year old Sid, right? Slicing through 3-4 defenders at a time, falling down on one leg, scoring goals backwards off his head, you know, whatever, backhand for days, you know, ridiculous stuff he did. This is like the 2022 version of this. You don't get that, right? Because like the mind, I'm sure, is willing, but the body is not what it was before. And the league's changed, right? It's not the same league anymore. You're getting like this really cool cerebral Crosby. So I mean, you really like sit down and watch the Penguins. You get a chance to watch Crosby. And by the way, Geno Malkin, for every accolade we're going to throw Crosby's way tonight, Malkin's been great as well.
Oh, yeah.
He's been a surgeon, but on another level right now. The Penguins power play is atrocious. Sidney Crosby is the most even strength points in the league. And you're seeing, he did it again tonight. He scored one tonight where he, you know, like in soccer, you see these long lob balls that the striker can kill with just a touch of their toe, right? The ball just stops and dies. He did that with the puck tonight. And then like almost in the same motion, just whacked one in. And like one timed it once he killed it. So it's just different now. Like his faculties are still at a level, like way above everybody else's. He's still playing 4D chess. But it's just a little bit different. It's more cerebral. It is, I hate to say this, like, you don't want to make this comparison, but it is very akin to like post retirement Lemieux return, where like he was doing it the same way, you know, like he was making like these no look passes through five skaters, you know, tape to tape with somebody. You're getting a lot of that now. So I don't know, man. It's just fun. I think, you know, I went a little too hard on Twitter tonight, Mike, because there aren't people out there who are openly talking about like the death of Sidney Crosby. But I think what happens is he gets forgotten about, right? And it is, let's be fair, a McDavid world now, right? And he's scoring these goals that are just ridiculous. And, you know, Austin Matthews does things on a nightly basis that no human you would think should be able to do. And that those for good reason, Mike, they take the front page, right? But it's just a reminder, I guess, for me that 87's still out there and, you know, Father Time is losing this wrestling match badly for the old 35-year-old. So yeah, something to keep an eye on.
I just love how he's still a wagon. Like, I know you said all these eloquent things. I'm just like, this man is still got an absolute dump truck.
Yep.
That he's just hauling around on his backside. And it's Crosby's work in the corners, really, that always awed me. Like it is, you know, even as a, like, when he debuted, I was what, like 10, I think, or something. Like he, like when I was consciously starting to understand the game of hockey, not just playing it, not just being wowed by the fast, you know, the fast men on skates. Like when I was actually being like, oh, that's a breakout. This is the trap, you know, like sort of forming those conscious ideas, like Crosby and Ovechkin and all that were debuting, but Crosby specifically. And what just always wowed me is just like, this guy was impossible to knock off the puck. Yeah. Like like you go into the corner and he just became this like just his core, his center of gravity just like made him impossible to knock down, made him impossible to sort of like to lift. I love players like that who go in there and they just take over, and he's one of those guys who takes over. And the infamous moment, like I know Crosby's, he's won three cups, you know, he's won a Conn Smythe, he's you know, he's done all these things, Hart trophies, you know, like just like crazy stuff. But my favorite moment of him ever is his first ever game back from the concussion, from the two concussions against the Islanders in Canada. That was supposed to be like a nothing burger, like, you know, is Penn's regional, not that Penn's regional broadcasts are nothing burgers, but over here, like, we're not able to see it.
No,
and,
right. Yeah.
And CBC, like the day of when they realized Crosby's coming back, like bought the game, like they purchased the rights to make it a national broadcast. And he comes in and he scores four, he gets 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists. His first one was in the first period, like right away, incredible backhand, you know, where he splits the D. Like it was just an absolutely remarkable game by him. Like it's a shame that we got robbed of so much of him. Like whether it was the extended injuries due to the concussions, the wondering if he's ever going to be the same again. And then he was, and then also the fact that we had a lockout and we had, you know, like COVID and we had, you know, like the shortened seasons and stuff like that.
I mean, but even had him get hit in the head against the Rangers last year with a Trouba incident, and he was playing some of the best hockey of his life there and missed a couple games.
Exactly. So, and he missed and he missed
he took
games
that shot
the season.
Brooks Orpik to the face.
Yep.
When he was on that tear in the shortened season, had that jaw injury that he sat out for a while. So you're right. It's so interesting to me, Mike, that decades after Pittsburgh lost all that time of Mario Lemieux to cancer, and the retirement and the back problems, mm-hmm. That you basically had history repeat itself many years later with Sidney Crosby. So, you know, you get blessed with that generational talent, but you know, it comes at the price of missing large chunks of time with them. I guess it's just it's a price, you know, it sucks, but we all sort of we all lose in that scenario, I think, you know, not having the ability to watch him play. So you know, like I said, enjoy it. You don't know how many of these he has left. I think he's put off a lot of personal stuff, you know.
No, he doesn't have social media. We don't know anything about him off the ice. At least I don't.
Sure. Kat, she started. Yeah, his girlfriend's been around now, right? So like, he's brought her around a lot.
I did not know that he had a girlfriend even.
Yeah. So like, she's been around, and like he's like the ceremony, like a lot of like the stuff like the team is doing, like to honor like his different accomplishments. She's been involved in. I think that she was in there also when they retired his jersey in Rimouski. But the point I mean is like, no, he doesn't have kids. He ain't married, right? Like he's punted all of that to play. And I think that like for that reason, we're not going to see him like right off like a Marlowe type situation. I think it'll be like this effectual cutoff where he'll get to a point and say like, I'm done now. This is it. I'm going to go and I'm going to be like a human being and just live in Cole Harbor by myself, and be good for him. Right. Great. I think it'll be very much like a Mario situation where we will not see him. He'll probably buy like a little tiny ownership stake in the team and, you know, live quietly off in a farm somewhere. So
that sounds awesome. That kind of life sounds absolutely awesome.
Yeah. Like, I'm not much of a farmer, but you know,
I've always wanted, my dream is always to have just given up my life in the city. Like, you know, like sort of just abandon all my earthly possessions, move to the coast of New England and work on the docks. That's always been my dream. And if Sidney Crosby does anything, maybe not work on the docks, but just sort of like, you know, be around there. And I think that's just absolutely phenomenal. And I think he's living life right. But yeah, look, yeah. Like it goes to your point that how much we've missed Crosby. Now we just like how much we've missed of Crosby. Appreciate where he is now. Appreciate this, the fact that you're witnessing greatness. Cause it's very important that, you know, fans of any sport just take a step back sometimes. Like, people take LeBron James for granted, man. Like, it, like, they really do. Like, it's, you know, like, we're like, the guy is like 39 years old and he's out here dropping like 36 points, you know, on like a Wednesday night. And people are just like kind of ho-hum about that. Like, we're going to look back on that and think, like, this guy was on another level. Like, this guy was absolutely insane. I think Crosby's on that level where, like, we're going to look back and go, like, he did what? Like, or some of the things are like, you know, the next generation of fans are going to look at Crosby compilations and just go, like, holy smokes, like, the stuff that he did. Like, it's absolutely remarkable.
And unique to him, right?
Extremely unique.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What do you know about marsh pegs?
Marsh pegs?
Yeah. What do you know about marsh pegs?
I don't know what those are.
Marsh pegs are the technical term, Michael, for the tiny plastic pegs that go down into the hole in the crease that align the net. They drill out the post holes, right? And the marsh peg slides in there to keep the net from moving around. Now, Mike McKenna, the reason we're talking about this is because Matt Murray.
And Spencer Knight
are catching, I guess, what? I don't know what to call it, heat. Because the accusation is they are recognizing a threat or a situation where they may get scored on, which is hilarious to me because, like, you know, clearly these people have never played goal before. And I haven't either, but, like, I've played goal, like, jokingly enough to know that, like, you don't get you, like, you're just holding on for dear life.
Yeah.
That they've been knocking the net off the moorings, getting whistles, and sneakily affecting the game in a nonsensical way. I've seen takes on this, Mike, that say that this should be a penalty, that the goaltender should be penalized for this. I just wanted to know if you'd done any CSI work on this, on marsh pegs, or if you had any hot marsh peg takes.
Well, here's what I found extremely funny, because I think that so Murray, I think, like, combined, he did it like four times. You know, he did it twice against Minnesota and he did it twice against the Devils. And what I found really funny is, and I think they've taken the clip down now, but Elliot Friedman was on the Jeff Merrick show and he was getting asked about this. And he essentially went like, listen, I've talked around. And the consensus is, and he's like, no disrespect to any of the ice crews in any of these places, but there's certain rinks that are well known around the NHL where the net, like, just does come off easier. And he's like, and he listed a couple and he's like, yeah, you know, it's one, I think he said was Nashville. And then the other two, he was like, and then there's New Jersey and Minnesota. And I go like, oh, what a coincidence. What a coinky dink, really.
Yeah.
That's where, like, Murray clearly did it intentionally at least twice in there. But, like, there were other times where it just happens. And then, like, the thing, too, is that it has to go up and out. Like, the marsh bag has to go up and then get pushed out.
Right.
So if you look at some of the replays, like, if the guy, like, you can't you shouldn't be able to just knock the net off if you push off, because that's what every goalie does. That's how they do, is if they push off the post and move, you know, like, side to side. And, like, so if the goalie is pushing off, just straight up pushing off, not lifting it up, not using his shoulder, not anything like that. If you're just straight up pushing off and the net goes off, that's not on him.
That's so you're right. And Mike McKenna was talking about this. An anonymous NHL goalie had said to him that the peg lifts up, doesn't settle back in, but you can't tell. And everything looks normal. Right. So, like, the peg will come up. It doesn't settle back into the drill hole. You don't know. You can't see it. But the next time you do, like, your typical post-to-post movement comes off without an eyelash, like, without batting an eyelash. Like, yeah.
I think that's funny. And also, like, and I got to give credit to Murray because it's a veteran move. The time he did it that was, like, pretty egregious was I think it was the first time, and the Leafs were at the end of a shift that, like, everyone had been on the ice for like 2 minutes. Like everyone was dog tired. They were just, they couldn't get off. And so he did a push and it went off and boom, there you go. It like he not only got them like a chance to change, chance to rest, but then, like, they had to get the drill guy to come out and, like, drill it back in. And he forgot the right drill bit. So he had to go back and bring the right drill bit for his drill. It ended up being like a 5-minute stoppage. So he got like essentially like 10 timeouts worth of time for his team.
But let's take that out of the equation for a second. Like, nobody would complain about it. Well, I guess it is different, right? Because you're – so I do see the point, because they're talking about, like, it during play versus not during play. But Matt, I'll tell you this about Matt Murray. One thing he did a lot in Pittsburgh, and this is, like, a savvy thing I think he learned from Marc-Andre Fleury.
By the way, he's been great.
No, like, you're right. At the start of the year, right, before he got hurt, was kind of, like, struggle bus. But then, like
– and it is the complete opposite. He's been fantastic. He's been like old Matt Murray, right?
Pardon? It's like, how long will this last?
I don't know, but he's been like Stanley Cup winner Matt Murray.
That's good. He was really good, Mike, at knowing when to get his team extra time. So yeah, like going over to the bench with an equipment heavy air quotations equipment issue, right? Like, oh, my pad's not secure. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I need my skate needs tied or like whatever. Like, you know, like there was an icing. You know what I mean? Like, your defenseman's tongue are hanging out of their mouths, and like, you're smart enough to know how to do that. So I wouldn't put it against it. But to your, just to give you this insight, Mike McKenna said that he thinks all the instances were by accident. He says even the ones that you talked about that were like, no, these are definitely
really,
these are, he says, well, he all
would
of
know,
them
look,
were
he
by
would know better than
yeah.
I would.
Yeah, I think that's more of like a case of like, oh, like I've seen this so much and it happens so often that like I believe. But anyway, yeah, there's a whole like article he put about the marsh peg. So I thought it was funny because I never called them that in my life. We just called them moorings. You know, that was it. That was the word that we used. But marsh peg is a great word. So
pretty remarkable to think of. And hopefully I just hope someone, based on the reaction from all the beat writers around, I just hope someone thinks of the children, because this is what a terrible example to set for all the impressionable children out there. You know, there was a lot of pearl clutching with the goalie knocking the net off. I just think that Matt Murray was being a little stinker, and I love that. I love that about him. Well, Jesse, we've reached the end of the podcast. We want to keep these relatively short, just because we both have long, rich, and fulfilling lives. And it's also, at least on my time, 9:41 p.m. So I think this is where we say farewell. But what a lovely time it's been.
It has. It's been great. We'll do it again soon. There's so much more hockey to talk about. Isn't that great?
There sure is. I can't wait to get into all of it.
We didn't even talk about Hockey Canada on this episode.
Thank God.
I did it in the very end. But like, we got a whole show of like regular stuff.
I'm sure there will be some crap that comes out that we have to talk about. But Jesse, it's always been a pleasure. Let's do this again soon.
Take a rest after those steps. You earned it.
I sure will. Take care, everyone.